Ahoy, mateys. Welcome to Game Buoy, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yar, shiver me timbers and swab the poop deck.
Girl.
Oh, fuck you.
Our topic this week is Wii U Rising, the start of next gen. As an FYI, we're still working on making our show sound better for you folks. At this point, the dust should be starting to settle, and we just want to thank you for keeping with us as we're under construction.gif. Please reach out to us if you're having any issues with the way we sound or our new bumpers.
If you just don't like the sound of our voices, sorry.
Not sorry. So, starting things off. As always, we have a couple of follow-up topics. Obviously, you can go to our website, gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org.
If you're looking for the source articles that we're referring to so that you can follow along with us at home. Our first follow-up topic of the day, the THQ financial saga continues. Hashtag new delays. Hashtag Darksiders 2 heavily underperformed. The most recent step in this saga is that currently THQ is in default with Wells Fargo to the tune of a $50 million credit loan. Loan credit.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's, let me just be frank here, guys. Things are looking very dark for THQ.
Things are looking very dark, Siders.
I wish, man. I'll probably pick that game up tomorrow for Wii U, in fact. Just because I have been seeing on Twitter, you know, other publishers, PR people, openly discussing with fans what IPs they're hoping publishers are going to buy at the inevitable foreclosure of THQ sale.
That's super sad.
Most people are now viewing THQ's liquidation as an imminent inevitability.
It's going the way of the Twinkie.
Yeah, dude, how awful is that, yo? Like, I seriously went to go buy some ho-hos yesterday because I love ho-hos, and all I could get were frosted donuts. Like, every other Hostess product, not only was it, like, bought, but, like, the box that contained them in was, like, ravaged by animals.
Damn, it'd be a zombie apocalypse, y'all.
It felt like a zombie apocalypse. It really did. It was awful. So, yeah, I mean, on this THQ thing, unfortunately, this news is sort of still happening. This was just this week that the $50 million credit issue with Wells Fargo came up. I don't know how this is going to resolve, frankly, but it's not looking good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they have the power to pull a Sega and, you know, get themselves out of this trouble.
Well, and, you know, we say pull a Sega because Sega has turned their, you know, they're pretty massive.
Turn the beat around.
They were facing, you know, a pretty massive year-over-year deficit as well, and they've actually, with their whole realigning their goals.
Yeah, I mean,
they've really turned it around. THQ tried something similar, but, you know, they wanted to hold on to that AAA game development thing that everyone seems to be falling into right now. And Darksiders 2, you know, it sold a couple million units, but they were expecting it to sell a couple million units more. So that is awful, and it sucks, because THQ has been around for, you know, forever, basically. I remember playing THQ-published SNES games. They were awful, but still. Old guard and all that.
Yeah, it's sad, but, you know, nothing's final yet, so.
Yeah, well,
we'll be following this.
We'll be following this.
As we have,
yeah. And, you know, hopefully we'll have good news for you next week.
Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Also in the news, Sega and All-Stars Racing Transformed secret characters have been found in the code of the game.
And we're not just talking about Danica Patrick, which we laughed about weeks ago.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. When I proposed this as a follow-up, I didn't know if we were following up because of general Sega stuff or the Danica Patrick stuff.
True. And, you know, I'd just like to point out that at the time, I was so focused on the fact that Danica Patrick's going to be in that game being hilarious that I forgot that Wreck-It Ralph is the character in that game. And Wreck-It Ralph is just an amazing movie. So I would totally be into racing as him.
Anyway.
Preferably in a Sugar Rush game, if you're listening, Disney.
Sugar Rush. Sugar Rush.
So anyways, we're not talking about Danica Patrick.
We are talking about, first, to start with, something called the Segabot. The Segabot, apparently, can turn into the Hornet from Daytona, USA, the Jet from Afterburner, and a Dreamcast VMU.
Oh, that's cute.
This sounds, you know, pretty much incredible in every possible way.
Yeah, they describe it on the article that we're going to link at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
It's kind of like a Megazord, so props to the Power Rangers reference that they threw out there.
Yeah, and kind of more interesting than that, and obviously we're still working on, you know, code leaks. We don't know that this is a thing exactly. We won't really know for sure until the PC version comes out, but it looks like in the PC version that you'll get off Steam, the guest characters that are going to be included are the Pyro, Heavy, and Spy from Team Fortress 2.
Medic!
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, that's very cool. Obviously, this is still rumored. We don't know. We don't.
Rumor has it.
We don't have video or photos yet, but, you know, by all means, it looks like this is a real thing that's happening. So that's pretty cool. That's exciting. And our last, but certainly not least, follow-up of the day. The Anarchy Reigns Day 1 edition has been announced for the European territories. This special package will include the Bayonetta playable character DLC, as well as two additional game modes as DLC, the Mad Survival and Dogfight modes. Mad Survival will have three players fighting off waves of enemies in what sounds to be sort of a take on the Horde mode fad that's really hit games this generation. And Dogfight has your characters hanging from helicopters shooting each other as they're also hanging from helicopters.
Man, I want to be like Bayonetta and the dude from Mad World shooting each other on helicopters. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, that sounds superb.
Now, this is only so far confirmed for Europe, correct?
Yeah, this is only confirmed for Europe so far. But frankly, I expect that we'll see this for the U.S. release as well.
Oh, I imagine so.
And, you know, since that's, at this point, what, 7 or 8 weeks away, I expect we'll be hearing about it soon.
Super excite!
Anyway, I think that's it for our follow-ups today. I think it's time for...
News. Oh my god, news. We have a lot of oh my god news this week, don't we?
We really do. Slagkick, if you'd like to take this first one.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We saw on Battle.net that Heart of the Swarm, which is the next expansion for StarCraft II, is going to be out on March 12th of next year. The interesting thing is that aside from, like, Joystick, which is partnered with WoW Insider, not a lot of gaming media really paid attention to this, which is weird.
Yeah, I felt like that was really strange, too. I still feel like I haven't really heard people talking about this, despite it being, you know, a fairly big news.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not personally a huge StarCraft fan, but... you know, it's got a big following, so yeah. If you're into StarCraft, StarCraft 2 is your thing. You'll be playing the next expansion in a couple months. That's cool.
Sounds like you don't have a lot to say about that.
I still haven't played StarCraft 2, really.
Oh, okay.
So,
you know, I don't hate it, but I don't think it's as good as
you know,
the
original. I picked it up when Blizzard was doing one of their holiday sales. You know, it was like marked down to $14 or something like that. So,
oh, nice.
And, you know, of course, being Blizzard, it's going to have digital version, digital deluxe, collectors, and, you know, there's a bunch of bullshit you can get with the collector's edition.
I bet it comes with some free WoW stuff, too, if you get
Yeah, you get a bangling pet for World of Warcraft.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds dirty.
Right? And you get a new sigil for Diablo 3 and Zerg wings for your character.
Oh, yay.
Cool. So, yeah, that's cool, but it's just what's kind of more notable, like we said, is that a lot of people haven't really been saying, like, hey, you know, StarCraft 2. So
the next topic, the next story I kind of want to talk about a little bit. I don't have a great deal of insight on this one, but I feel like it's something people should be aware of if you play, you know, indie games and non-mainstream AAA
titles. Yeah, this was kind of interesting.
Steam has axed its traditional submission process for sort of indie studios and studios that don't have, like, major corporate backing. So, you know, pretty much, and the note here I made is, everyone goes through Greenlight now unless they have mad bank, yo. And I basically think that's awful.
Yeah, because, I mean, we were talking about the whole thing with Xbox Live Arcade and how that was horrible. What game was that? There was that one game.
That was Fez.
Right. And, I mean, remember we were talking about how Microsoft was being, like, really prohibitive to indie gamers with their crazy charges. So, I mean, this is kind of not good.
Well, that's my concern. I feel like Steam is... Oh, there it is. I just found my energy. I've been feeling a little low energy today. I just found it. Man, I feel like Steam...
You picked up some energy pellets?
Yeah, I feel like Steam is really trying to make Greenlight happen. You know, obviously, for those of you out there that aren't super involved in Steam and you don't get super into PC gaming, first off, I think you're missing off on some super dope sales, but, you know, it's whatever. Basically, Greenlight, everyone who has a Steam account looks at all of these sort of proposed game ideas in various states of completion and gives Steam feedback, like, if you put this game up on Steam, I would buy it.
And I think in general it's a cool idea, but the fact that...
Well, to me, my problem is you have so many games that people have gotten on Steam over the years. We've talked about Terraria is one of my personal favorites. A game like that that didn't have big corporate backing now wouldn't have showed up on Steam unless it passed Greenlight. So the problem that I see is that a lot of these games that go through Greenlight that have been approved so far are games that have sort of, like, well-known staff associated, or they're, like, pseudo-sequels.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not fair to people who are trying to, like, be new voices in indie gaming.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, someone who has, like, a great idea and a great concept and a great pitch for what is probably going to be a good game, they are probably not going to have any real traction now to get onto Steam.
I mean, because I guess before
what they would have done is go to Steam to get that traction and that user base.
And I guess now the attitude is you've got to work to promote yourself
you
before you're good enough for Steam.
Work.
You better work.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's, I think, exactly. Like, oh yeah, you have to do the green light thing. You can't just be on Steam anymore. Like, that's awful. That, like, Steam was complaining about Windows 8 being a closed, like, a walled garden. Well, motherfucker, why are you walling your garden now?
Right.
Like, you walling your own garden.
I mean, it's also going to be interesting to see when the Ouya comes out in a couple months.
Ooh, yeah.
If that's going to what type of relationship they're going to have with indie developers. I mean,
yeah, and you know, they've said that they'll be very welcoming to anyone that's making Android games. I guess the proof is in the pudding, but to a lesser extent, I feel like they're not going to be very hands-on with sort of the user end of the Ouya experience. I don't think the Ouya folks are going to be like, oh, this is our e-store. I think it's going to be way more like, oh, this is an Android device, and now you can shop at the Amazon Android online store.
Right.
So I don't think the Ouya folks are really going to be curating the marketplace the way that Steam is trying to do. I think that the Ouya folks are just making a device that we can access this content portal through.
True.
But they have stated that the sort of goal of doing this was, like I said a moment ago, just so that anyone who's making Android apps and games can have access to this device to get games on it.
Which is not what Steam is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still going to support Steam, but kind of shady.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately, as someone who likes PC games, I really have no other option.
And, you know, we kind of just have to see how it plays out. It'll really be, like, you know, the first time we see a story come up about, like, oh, this cool idea didn't happen because it didn't get greenlit or whatever, you know. But the irony is,
I'll be upset the first time that happens.
Ironically, if that happens, people are going to, like, rage about it, and then it probably will get greenlit. So, you know, it's just, that's kind of discouraging that there is a roadblock, like you said, or a block in the garden, or
yeah, I'll just let you hang yourself on that one. Slag, if you'd like to take this next one.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light came out. It was, you know, a little, I guess you could call it a budget title, right? It was, you know, Live Arcade, Steam.
I wouldn't call it a budget title, but it was an arcade game. You know, it was bite-sized package, but in that marketplace, it was sold for a premium price.
Oh, so yeah, yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is it wasn't an official, like, main entry in the Tomb Raider franchise. So, you know, it was kind of like their little side game. I heard it was kind of like a Diablo-esque game.
You know, it has a similar perspective that you're playing from as Diablo, but it's really more of a platform puzzle game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It has some of the best co-op I've ever seen.
I heard it was really fun. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but
yeah, I'm a big fan.
Anyway, what's notable right now is that it is now free to play in a browser. Core Online was able to get access to it, and you know, so it's going to kind of remain to be seen how it'll work as a browser game, because, you know, like you said, the co-op was such a part of that. But, you know, it'll be supported by ads. But if you ever really wanted to play Guardian of Light and you just couldn't throw down $10 to $14 when it, you know, it is still going to be available. That's the thing to point out. It's still, you can still get it.
Yeah, you can get it on Steam. They often have it on sale now for $7.50. You can get it on, you know, Xbox Live Arcade. You can get it on PS3. Or, I'm sorry, PSN for PS3. So, but I think this is really interesting. We've seen a lot of this coming from Square Enix lately. Their website, they have quite a few of their older PC games now. Some of the formerly done by Eidos, which obviously Eidos is now Square Enix wholly owned. Some of the old, like, Hitman games, you can just load up the Square Enix website, and as long as you don't mind playing an ad-supported game that's going to have, you know, mandatory commercials that you have to watch every 15 minutes or something, you can play, like, the whole game that way.
But, you know,
and now, you know, hope is Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light.
The hope is that people will go over and they'll be like, hey, this is really cool. I'm having a lot of fun with this. I think I'm going to throw down some money for it.
I think that's the presumable hope. But even if people don't, they're still making money on the ads.
Totally. So, hey, cool.
Win-win for them. You get to check out a game that I think is pretty cool. And if you haven't, you know, if you haven't played it yet, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's not going to cost you anything except sitting through some ads.
Something that's I kind of have a lot of feelings about. Our next news topic. PS Plus for Vita is hitting alongside the Vita 2.0 update Monday. So by the time you're listening to this, it will probably have just hit. The Vita PlayStation Plus rollout is going to include access to the Instant Game Collection, which has been, you know, a pretty big deal on the PS3 for PlayStation Plus subscribers. I am a PlayStation Plus subscriber. I think it's pretty cool. And the whole, like, just getting whole games free every month is super rad.
It's kind of a cool idea. I mean, you know, for the price of a game, one game, you can have access to these games for...
Well, yeah, and, like, the monthly charge breaks down to something like $13 a month. So it's, like, not even that much.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for the PS3 version, but the Vita version is $18 for 3 months or $50 for a year. So it's like $6 a month.
Oh, that's interesting.
And much
I feel
less
like
if you pay for the year.
I feel like I paid more than that. I should probably look into this.
Well, I mean, I honestly, as someone who is not really supporting Sony, you know,
rude.
What?
Continue.
I have no idea about the PS3 cost, but
yeah, it's cool. If you look at my TV right now, which has my PS3 turned on, most of those games on my menu there are games I got free from PS Plus, including Lara Croft and The Guardian of Light.
Cool.
So PS Plus for the Vita will include instant access to Uncharted Golden Abyss, Jet Set Radio, Wipeout 2048, Gravity Rush, Tales from Space,
Mutant Blobs Attack,
and the PSP's Final Fantasy Tactics, The War of the Lions. Frankly, I feel like that's great. Like, that's a great selection of Vita games, you know? Uncharted, Gravity Rush, Wipeout, they're like basically like the three marquee titles of the platform.
Pretty much.
And, you know, we have Jet Set Radio, which is brand spanking new, because I think it hits the PlayStation Store that day.
Right. Because it's already out everywhere else, except Vita.
So, I'm stoked because I was going to buy Jet Set Radio, and because I'm already a PS Plus user, I'm just going to have instant access to it for free.
Is this going to be one unified PlayStation Plus subscription, or is it...
Yeah, they've already said that.
Oh, okay.
One subscription applies to all platforms.
Well, see, I mean, so if you're one of the five people in the world, including us, who has a PlayStation Vita, and you also have a PS3, it's probably a pretty good deal.
Yeah, great games everywhere. Free great games everywhere.
Cool.
And, you know, obviously, I'm also excited to see that they're giving away a PSP game. You know, it's specifically, of course, it's War of the Lions, Final Fantasy Tactics. This port did have a few issues to it, but it has, like, the best translation of the game that's ever been made. So it's definitely worth your time just for that. It's also one of my favorite games of all time, just overall. Like, if I were to rank a top 10, it would probably be 6 or 7. So, you know, can't say no to that. Slag, if you'd like to hit this next one for me.
I'd be delighted to. So, on the Sony PlayStation blog, they put up a list of a couple of things that are being added to the PlayStation Store. You can pre-order All-Stars Battle Royale, but that's not what we thought was notable. What we thought was notable is the fact that SingStar is now available for free.
For free?
Now, of course, the whole thing with SingStar is that it's got thousands of songs in the Sing Store. So, you know, the hope is that you will spend heck of money buying DLC.
Ah, so this is the first hits free kind of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, that's cool, you know. SingStar is fun.
Yeah, you know, they did something similar for the PSP version of Rock Band, where you could get the core game free, but it had no songs, and you basically just bought DLC for it a la carte, because, you know, Rock Band has quite a few songs as well.
Indeed.
So that's cool. If you have a PS3, if you're into SingStar, but you look at those discs and think, I'd buy this, but I ain't trying to buy a disc with 8 Adele songs, then this might be the way to go for you. Get it free, buy, you know, $2 songs of all the stuff you really like, and sort of make your own playlist.
I think that's pretty cool.
Excellent. I don't have a whole lot to say about this next point, but I think it's noteworthy. Masao Ohata-san has been named the new corporate president of SNK Playmore in Japan. This is, of course, very interesting to me, because he's actually been a name in the American game industry since, like, the early 90s. Actually, even earlier than that, he was the president of Joleco USA before he went over to Time Warner Interactive. From there, he went on to work at Midway for years before taking over at Bandai America in 2001 as vice president. So the official press release of this information is going to be hitting on November 21st, and we'll know a little bit more information then. But I felt like it was worth noting that SNK Playmore is assigning someone who has a lot of international business success.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. They've been kind of struggling-ish for a long time now. They're not Sega or THQ.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw a Kingdom Fighters game come out.
There was just one like a year ago.
Probably didn't do very well, though, did it?
I don't feel like it did. I mean, for a King of Fighters, I think it did all right, but it had a lot of problems.
Hmm.
And last, but never least, Shantae and the Pirate's Curse has been announced.
Shantae, you stay.
This game was announced via Nintendo Power. It's a 3DS game. And if you've been listening for a little while, I bring up Shantae fairly often.
I think if it was not our first What's Up, it was one of the very early What's Ups that you mentioned, Shantae.
Yeah, I, you know, it's just some great games, very Metroidvania light. And I'm most excited because this Nintendo Power article announcing the game, it sounds like the most Metroidvania-y game of the series to date.
And since, like we said last time, Castlevania's not doing it, someone's got to do it.
Yeah, right? So I'm stoked. I don't think we have, like, a release window target yet or anything, but Way Forward is, you know, they're making another 2D platforming Metroidvania. I think it's going to be good for all of us. So super excited for that.
I think it's cool that Way Forward is, you know, taking advantage of the fact that they have a super cool sassy genie in their,
well, you know, in the robbery. Pirate's Curse, she's no longer a genie.
Really?
Yeah, well, she, spoilers and all, but storyline stuff happened at the end of the last Shantae game, the one that's on the 3DS DSi eShop.
Ah, Risky's Revenge.
Exactly so. So we'll see how this deals with that.
Cool, and of course pirates, so, you know, we're down for that.
Arr! Do you have anything you'd like to say about Shantae?
I will cut out this pause. No, it's cool. Like I said, it's cool that, you know, kind of an underappreciated gem of yours.
Shantae out there on the runway.
She's so bloody tall.
Actually, Shantae is not tall at all.
Yeah, because she's a little genie girl.
Anyway.
She's a genie in a bottle,
anyway,
baby.
We are veering way off course. It is time
to... Yeah, let's turn the ship back on course.
It is time to talk some tea.
It's not time to talk some tea. It's time to talk some you. We you, that is.
Girl, that was awful, and I'm so proud of you. I guess, to start this discussion off, I want to ask you, Slidekick, what do you think the start of console generation 8 means?
The first thing that comes to mind is a sassy, bitchy answer.
Do it.
I think this is going to be the start of Microsoft and Sony trying to rush their next consoles out, even though, from what I understand, neither is clearly ready to be released anytime soon.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because a lot of people have long held that these new consoles would be hitting next year, like at this time, for at least for the Microsoft console. And we've talked here a little bit about how I don't think it's going to make that. But you hear studios now talking about making software targeted for that window of time, and it almost sounds like maybe that's a thing that's really going to happen. And I think it's really interesting, for example, that we haven't had an E3 with the new Microsoft console yet, and yet a year from now we might be playing it. I feel like that's probably not a great thing.
Well, the thing is, and the reason that I made my point, even though it was kind of bitchy and sassy, you know, I think there's some truth to it. I think that a lot of people don't consider that Wii U is the proper start of the new generation of gaming.
Well, and I think that,
because it's comparable graphics-wise to PS3 and 360.
Ignoring that we've heard from developers saying that the people that have worked with these consoles saying that the Wii U is, you know, a lot more powerful than the other two, and that it's just that people don't know how to work with it yet, and these are sort of launch titles that have been hastily ported from other platforms. Ignoring all of that, for purposes of this conversation, the official Game Buoy stance on the generation of gaming and referring to Wii U as a next-gen console is that if you group each generation into what's on the market at the time, this is the Nintendo console that is going to be grouped with the next Sony and the next Xbox platforms. This is literally the start of a new generation. Even if you personally feel like, in terms of power, the Wii U is not a next-gen console.
Well, I mean, people felt that way about Wii. They thought it was nothing more than a waggly PS2.
And not that that's necessarily a factually wrong statement. I do think that it's error to say it's not the same generation as the 360 and PS3, despite having inarguably weaker hardware than those two platforms.
Yeah, I think the whole concept of next gen meaning it has to push it visually and
To me, it's simply a metric by which to directly compare market competitors.
I mean, and I think the thing is, with PS3 and 360, we saw Sony and Microsoft being like, oh, well, look, the Wii is selling a lot of units. We need to experiment. So we had the Move, we had the Kinect. So I think they're starting to realize that, you know, even though they want to be like, ooh, yeah, powerhouses or whatever, Nintendo put the pressure on them, and I think pressure is going to continue to build. I mean, we've already have smart glasses already out, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't work with all the games it's supposed to work with yet, but it does technically exist. I guess they checked that box.
The pressure's on, I think, and unfortunately, I do think that once I anticipate the Wii U is going to sell very well.
We'll see. I do think that the Wii U will have a pretty big impact on this generation if it sells well.
And
we do have, you know, we have Sony already has patched Little Big Planet 2 to allow you to use your Vita as a controller for it. And that,
like,
has
I said,
screen,
pressure,
so
the pressure's on, and it's because of Nintendo, I'd argue.
Interestingly, for me, I'm more excited about Miiverse than I am about the gamepad.
Yeah, I mean, I think the gamepad's great. Don't get me wrong. But we've talked about this a lot, but the thing is
I am effing addicted to Twitter. I am addicted to Tumblr. And the idea of
You have mentioned many times about wanting to leave bitchy little comments about, I found the secret exit in New Super Mario Brothers U.
Yeah, and, you know, I've talked about this on the show several times. I just, the very idea keeps me so continuously captivated that every time I think about it, I get super excited. And while I normally don't reference specifically when we're recording episodes, it is currently 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. So we're about 9 hours away from having our own Wii U's. And I am so effing excited.
Yeah.
Like,
by the time you listen to this episode, and, you know, like we said, we try not to be anachronistic when we are talking about issues. But by the time you listen to this, we'll have already been playing the Wii U, and possibly some of you too.
Hopefully. Probably. Definitely.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We've still had a lot of Wii U people on the fence about it. I don't want to say haters because I don't think there's quite as much hate as I originally thought there was.
Yeah, I feel like people are starting to come around. I really do. And I just, you know, here's the thing. I know that you have your beef with Sony, and that's fine. I QQ about all three of the major players in the industry. Obviously, when I say the three major players, I'm talking about Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft. But ultimately, I'd really like to see them all succeed. I don't want anyone to fail. I don't want anyone to make bad choices and not cater to their fan base.
You don't
want to
see another Dreamcast happen.
No, I think the market is better when we have three platforms, ideally all three going in different directions so that they offer unique experiences and people can just go to the experiences that they like the most. Yeah. While they're all encouraging each other through competition to continue creating and innovating.
Mean, yeah, and that's what I think. That's why I think Nintendo, even if you think that the Wii is for babies, that it's childish, that it's weak or whatever, it's not as powerful, I will forever credit the Wii for, you know, really trying to push innovation forward a little bit. You know, one thing that I think that's kind of interesting about the Wii U launch is that it seems like on the interwebs in general, I mean, and this might just be me, it might be me kind of being a defensive fanboy, but if I get the impression that people feel like the launch library is weak.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of that too. And, you know, it's very strange to me, and this sort of is the perfect segue. Well done. I wanted to talk a little bit about the launch lineup and maybe just do a game-by-game, like, what you think that could sort of serve as a buyer's guide to people who are maybe a little on the fence and aren't sure what they want to do for Wii U, which, right, again, by the time you hear this episode, will be on store shelves. Or not.
Yeah.
So let's just do this. This is... I thought it was an alpha order, but it turns out it is very not. So I'm going to try mentally to... No, I'm not going to put these mentally into alpha order. But we're still going to start with A. What you think about Assassin's Creed 3 for Wii U?
Well, I'm going to be talking about Assassin's Creed 3 a little bit later.
I'm not talking about the game. I'm talking about how do you feel about it on Wii U? What have you heard about the Wii U port? And all that. Let's.
I actually haven't heard too much, but I'm interested to see how the gamepad affects the game play.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited just for all of these games to have, you know, gamepad only play. I by far prefer playing games on portable consoles over playing on television. So I am super stoked to pretty much any game that I don't even have to use the TV for. And mm-hmm. It turns out, going by the reviews, that most of the launch games do support gamepad-only play.
Good.
So for me, hopefully, if Assassin's Creed 3 does support that, then I'll probably give up on my Xbox playthrough and switch over to Wii U.
Okay, cool.
Batman Arkham City. What do you think on that?
Well, you know, I'm thinking back to E3, and I remember just the general consensus from the gaming media being that it was kind of the least interesting use of the gamepad. So, yeah. I don't know.
I don't think that opinion has changed. You know, unfortunately, a lot of the reviews for these games are still on NDA, so we have to go by vague impressions posts.
Yeah, Wii U stuff's kind of been on lockdown.
Yeah, yeah. For Arkham City, just even I don't think it has on-pad play. I think
it's just kind of like slapped on UI-ish stuff, from what I understand.
Yeah. Well, it is nice that it has all of the DLC and all of the bonus content.
That's cool, because some games we're going to bring up later do not have all the DLC. We'll get to that.
Anyway. So, I'm a hit or miss on this. If I didn't have Arkham City on other platforms already, I think I'd be in for that for sure.
Oh, yeah, but I have it on Steam.
But
I got
this
the
is, yeah, this
Batman
is a
pack.
Game I've already experienced, so I don't think I'm going to double dip. They added stuff, but not stuff.
Yeah,
that,
you know, the Arkham games are cool, but I don't think I'm a big enough fan to double dip, like you said.
Girl, I don't know what about that comment was worth cutting me off for. Anyway, Call of Duty Blops 2.
So, from what I've heard, Black Ops 2 runs the best on Wii U.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it'll run better on PC, but as far as platforms go, and it has been, you know, people online have talked about using gamepad for play. And
gamepad
even doing
for play? Hot.
Girl. And even doing a split-screen co-op with one person playing on the TV and the other person playing on the pad.
That's cool. That's better than the, hey, both of you wear 3D glasses on the 3D PlayStation 3, and if you're not wearing glasses, it looks really weird.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to buy that.
Honestly, like, I've never had any interest in Call of Duty. You know, I'm not much for bro FPS games, but for some reason, Black Ops 2 seems kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to go in for that. Next up on this list is Zombie U.
Zombie U!
Now, we've talked about Zombie U a lot on this show. It looks good, survival horror, some really interesting concepts, some of which are borrowed from the critically acclaimed and fan-loved Dark Souls and Demon Souls games.
Now, were those Ubisoft games?
No. In fact, those were actually developed by Sony. Those were developed by Sony itself.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I think that's true. I know that Demon Souls, the first one, definitely was. I feel like the second one might have been done by, like, the same people, but published somewhere else, like not like Sony didn't publish it. Yeah, because that's on Xbox also, so Sony definitely didn't publish the second one, Dark Souls.
Interesting, but yeah,
it also has a PC port that came out somewhat recently that I picked up, which is
cool.
Awesome.
And of course, when you're talking about Demon Souls, Dark Souls, what are you referring to?
A game.
No, I mean, but what aspects in relation
to
Zombie
U? Yeah,
it's so apparently Zombie U is super hardcore.
And when you die, like, you have to be respawned somewhere else and find your old body to get all your loot back.
And also
if you're playing and you're connected to the internet, like, oh, that person might, like, my friends on my friends list might spawn in my world as an NPC.
Which
and,
I think
oh,
is
my
neat.
Friends can, like, put graffiti on the walls in my game world to give me notes, and going this way they could totally troll me and tell me that a hallway is safe, when actually that hallway has hells of zombies in it.
Which is super neat. Now, the fact that it's a super hardcore, difficult survival game means it might not be something that I'm super super on board for, just because I'm kind of a pussy.
You know, it's funny, because I was just telling my best bro earlier today that I was
Wait, I'm not your best bro?
No, you're my gay BFF.
Okay.
That I was probably not going to pick up Zombie U, but I'm talking about it right now, and I'm having a total, like, share in love with Josh moment. Like, I am totally butt crazy in love with Zombie U. I have to get that.
I'm sure you'll really like it.
I think so. Next up, Darksiders 2 by THQ.
THQQ.
QQQ. Supposedly, this is the best-running version of the game. I don't really know what they added for gameplay, but I like the first one. I specifically have avoided the second one so far, waiting for the Wii U version, so I'm definitely going to buy that.
Cool.
What do you think of it?
I haven't played the first Darksiders, so...
It's basically Zelda.
Oh, wow. Then I should maybe pick this up.
Yeah, it's basically Zelda, but like...
Darker.
But with like a death metal sort of like motif.
I want to go to there.
It's like get some items, solve some puzzles, have some combat. Like it's basically Zelda, but for dudes.
That sounds great. I might have to pick that up.
Epic Mickey 2. The Power of Two.
We did not even plan that. It just happened.
It wasn't special enough for you to bring that up.
Ah, fuck off.
You going to pick up Epic Mickey 2?
I don't know if I'll pick it up at launch. I can't remember if I've mentioned Epic Mickey on air before. I know that you and I have talked about it. I had a little bit of issue with Epic Mickey, which, of course, the first one was a Wii exclusive. And it was mostly just because I felt the controls were a little bit awkward. Now, Epic Mickey 2, of course, is going to be multi-platform. And so, I mean, but if I do pick it up, it will definitely be for the Wii U.
This is not to be confused, by the way, with Epic Mickey for 3DS.
Which I am definitely picking up.
Is that out now? I think that might be out now.
If it's not out now, it's out within the week or so, I think.
I know there's a demo for it. You can play the demo now.
Yeah, but I am definitely there for the 3DS version.
Excellent. I probably won't be picking up the Wii U version. I like the first Epic Mickey. It was pretty alright, but there's just too much on my plate right now.
Yeah, honestly, that's where I'm at too. Like, I liked Epic Mickey, the first Epic Mickey, enough. Thought it was interesting enough, but, you know, like I said, not a priority for me. But, you know, if you're a huge, huge Disney fan...
Which we are.
You really get into the Disney lore and, you know, obscure Disney stuff. Then, yeah, and yes, we both are, but, you know, we feel we have too much on our plates for diving in on launch for Epic Mickey.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, though.
Yeah, I was just reiterating a point.
Do better.
Bitch.
This is just going to degenerate into us tearing each other apart.
Let's move on.
Next up
is... Keep it moving. Keep it snappy.
ESPN something, something, something.
It's like I have a sixth sense.
I'm just going to say pass.
Yeah, it
looks,
sorry.
The box art looks like an awful Wii Sports clone. And I feel like if...
I am not here for that.
Yeah, right? If it were good, I probably would have heard of it by now. In fact, ditto that on... Game Party!
I think it says Game Party Central. I can't even read it.
Maybe.
On this game box.
But it also has art on its box art of, like, a basketball, a baseball bat.
I bet it's gonna, like, be bundled at Walmart with those really cheap Wiimote add-ons that are, like, tennis rackets and stuff.
Oh, probably,
because,
right?
You know, soccer moms think that helps them play those type of games better. It's really cute, in a way.
I will say I kind of want one now because there was an episode of Doctor Who that I was watching the other day where the doctor was addicted to Wii Sports and he was playing Wii Tennis with one of the little, like, tennis-looking add-ons, tennis racket-looking add-ons, and it was super cute.
Okay.
I heart you, Matt Smith. Next up, though, Just Dance 4.
Honestly, I liked Just Dance 3 on Kinect so much that my inclination would be to get it for 360.
It's funny to hear you say that because the Just Dance series started as a Wii franchise.
Oh, no, I know that, but, like, I feel like when I play it on 360 that I'm pushing myself to, like, actually, you know, like, move my whole body, work it, twerk it. Okay, I don't twerk it. But...
And do you not do that when you play it on Wii?
I haven't honestly spent a lot of time with the Wii versions, but, you know... I mean, I don't know. I look at it as a workout game. Not just a fun, dance movie, shaky, waggle game. But, you know...
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Just Dance games at all, so I'm going to take a pass on this. I feel like there's nothing particularly interesting that they're adding to it, to the Wii U platform, so that gets a pass from me.
Yeah, like I said, if I pick it up, it'll be for 360, so I can use it with Kinect, but honestly, I'd be more inclined to get Dance Central 3.
I'm going to pair these two up. Madden 13 and NBA 13.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah, I'm going to take a pass. If there was an MLB game...
I was just going to say that. If there was, like, MLB 2012 Giants Championship Edition...
I wouldn't even need all that. Like, I'll just play a straight-up MLB game at this point in my life.
Yeah, but, I ain't here for Madden or NBA 2K 13.
Okay, next. Mass Effect 3 Special Edition.
Now, I'm... very interested, but I just read the other day that they're not going to get any of the new DLC, like the Omega DLC.
Now, see, that's actually bullshit. That's not factually true yet. It's not getting the Omega DLC at the time that it comes out on PS3 and 360. That is definitely true. But they didn't say... And PC, obviously.
Which is my preferred Mass Effect platform.
Me too. But they didn't say it was never coming. They haven't said it is coming, but they haven't said that it's not either.
Okay, so let's just say that there could be potential issues with Wii U not getting DLC because of the gamepad functionality or such.
And I guess that's probably the issue, is that the way that the gamepad works with Mass Effect... And, you know, they've done some really cute touches. It has maps. It has, like, you can put hotkeys there that are all customized in case you don't want to have to, you know, go to menus in order to use your special abilities. You just want to fire them right off.
Which I think is great.
And apparently there's really cute touches where, like, during cutscenes when Reapers are coming at you and shooting you, and, like, the whole screen is, like, the whole screen will, like, start to, like, glitch out as if it's being, like, radio interference by the Reapers. Like, the developers that handled this port, Straight Right, I believe they're called, they really put a lot of thought into doing a good port, and I think that's great. But because they added content that is platform specific, you almost have to wonder if that's not going to be detrimental in getting this add-on content that they didn't port.
Which, I mean, I don't know if that's a deal-breaker for me. I don't think I'm going to pick this up at launch. But I definitely would like to play it just because I think it's going to play really well on Wii U. And I double-dip on it with Wii U before I would for 360. I never was really a fan of the 360 controller for it for some reason.
We need to pause. Sorry about that, guys. While Slagkick was talking, I was chewing on a pen and it exploded in my mouth.
Really?
Bitch.
Too bad it wasn't a penis that exploded in your mouth.
Ew, Slag.
Alright, so Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, I'll probably pick it up. I have reservations about this DLC thing, but the thing everything is that, I've heard about the port, it sounds
the
like
thing is
a lot
that
of
we both play it. We both play it on PC, so we're gonna get the DLC anyway. So
pretty much, yeah.
But I mean, I do see that if you're not a PC gamer, you don't play 360 or PS3, which would be kind of rare, actually. I would think, you know, I'm on.
If you're listening to this podcast, probably.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're someone who this would be your first playthrough, could be an issue, but, you know, still, Mass Effect 3, I like it a lot. We talked about it on our very first Game Buoy, so...
Yeah. This next game, I feel like this is going to be a one-word answer. New Super Mario Brothers U. You gonna buy it?
Pass. Are you fucking kidding? Of course I'm getting it. That's like the number one must-have game.
Excellent.
Now, you know, it's kind of interesting because I know a lot of people, this is not enough to get them on board for Wii U launch. But not only do I really like the new Super Mario Brothers series, I love 2D Mario gaming, obviously. I grew up with it. And what's more significant than that is that New Super Mario Bros. 2 is going to be borrowing heavily from Super Mario World, which, of course, we here at Game Buoy just think is a gem of a game. You probably do, too, but, you know, Super Mario World, very special. And, seriously, New Super Mario Bros. U really, really seems to kind of harken back to that. And the gamepad implementation seems pretty neat, too. You know, some people kind of were like, New Super Mario Brothers, we kind of, like, had too much focus on co-op, getting through levels or whatever, but I believe it's called Boost Mode. Where you kind of, like, put in little platforms and stuff. I'm honestly, like we said, you know, a lot of lockdown on Wii U stuff, so I'm not too familiar, but from what I've read, the boost mode is really cool.
Yeah, I'm super excited. You know how I feel about level design. I talk about it here every week. And apparently New Super Mario Bros. U has some superb level design and really awesome challenge bonus modes.
You know my biggest gripe with the New Super Mario Bros. Co-op games?
What's that?
That you play as two Toads instead of, like, actual Toad and Princess Peach. I just really want it to have the four of them, like, in Mario 2.
Well, yeah, I was going to have some pithy remark, but I actually agree. Although I'd always want to use Princess, because if they put her in, they'd have to include her ability to glide.
Yeah, right.
And I will take a glide ability over regular jumps 100% of the time.
I don't know what's the deal with the blue and yellow Toads.
They're basic. IDK.
Yeah, and you're going to make me play as a blue or yellow Toad tonight, aren't you?
That's probably going to happen, yeah. Next up, Nintendo Land. We can't really talk about that because we both bought deluxe sets, right? So yes. We already have it.
Well, we will already have it soon, but...
Bitch.
We already paid for it.
Yes, that is what I meant. Rabbids Land.
I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I personally won't be picking it up, at least not right away, because... when I do most of my co-op gaming, it's when I come out and hang out with Captain Spike and the pirate crew, so kind of seems silly for me to get a game focused on multiplayer.
Yeah, we'll probably get it down the line, crack some rum and some beers and play Rabbids, but I'm not super concerned with getting it at launch.
Yeah, like I actually ended up buying the Rabbids game for Wii that came out at launch. And I think you probably still have it, Captain Spike, and I honestly don't care that you still have it. You know, like I said, I just, for me, getting a multiplayer game to have at home is not really a priority.
Scribblenauts Unlimited.
I'm not sure. I hear it's cute. You know, I know that there's some Nintendo unlockables, like a Nintendo character, so that's cute. I'll probably get it at some point. I don't know if it's a launch must-have.
I like the Scribblenauts games a lot, and, you know, I love that Fifth Cell, this little indie studio that could, is now releasing what is almost a marquee title. Like, this is a well-known, well-publicized, well-anticipated title. I'm super stoked for these guys. For me personally, even though I like the series a lot, there's just so many games are launching that I'm more excited for than that it's very unlikely that I'll pick it up for a while. I'll get it down the line almost for sure, but it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
Sing Party!
So
this is a karaoke game. I'll probably get it at some point, because I have people over for karaoke a lot.
And you know what's in it, right? Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number, so call me maybe.
No.
The thing that's kind of neat about Scene Party, even though, you know, it's a karaoke game, so it's probably a little basic, but you look at the Wii U gamepad, you can face your audience, and then you're like, okay, now everyone clap. So, I mean, I think that's kind of cute. I think with friends at parties, I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to pick it up. Next up on the list.
Next.
Nickelodeon. No, actually, though, it's Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed.
Which we mentioned earlier.
Which we've discussed on this show about a million times. I'm gonna buy it. That's definitely... I may not get it today, well, tonight when I pick up my Wii U, but I'll probably have it before the end of November. Like, I'll probably buy it this month.
I'm gonna play as Danica Patrick, and you can play as Wreck-It Ralph.
I'm gonna wreck it! By which I mean Danica Patrick's vagina.
No!
In the game, I am not talking about wrecking anyone's vagina in real life. This does... All situations, circumstances, and jokes are fictional. We are not talking about real things that are going to happen.
Yeah, you're talking about the pixelated Danica Patrick, not the real one.
Next up,
Tank.
No, there's only three tanks.
I know.
Tank.
You can tell we're
tank.
You can tell that our show's starting to wrap up, can't you?
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to get overwhelmed by Wii U excitement, so...
I don't know too much about Tank.
You know, it's a port of a Namco Bandai arcade game.
Oh, like you mean the Namco Bandai company that we discussed on our episode last week.
Yes, so it's... I like the arcade game. I don't know if I really think it's worth buying at home for, you know, $50 or $60 or whatever. I'll probably wait until I can get it for 30 or 40. It's probably going to be a lot of fun at parties because the arcade game is cool. It's one of those ones where you sit down in a deluxe cabinet and you like have like a steering wheel and stuff.
Oh, that's cute.
So it'll probably be fun. And you know,
Namco Bandai, as we said last week, solid.
Yeah. And it'll be fun. Another Namco Bandai game, Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
It's a lot of tea.
A lot of tea, maybe a little shade.
No, very little shade. I think this looks like the best version of this game.
Yeah, and I mean, like, consoles. You know, they've got the Nintendo costumes, which I think is silly.
And you know, Harada-san, the game director, was saying in an interview this week that their goal initially was that they were going to make a casual Tekken game, like a spin-off, like Tekken Kids. And Nintendo was basically like, we would really prefer if you make this, like, the most hardcore Tekken game you can. And Harada-san was like, all right, gee, you call the shots, yo. And so that's what happened. And
I don't think that's actually what he said.
Well, I don't know. There is a Snoop Dogg level in the game.
Really?
Yeah, there's a Snoop Dogg level.
Snoop Lion?
You, like, fight, and there is Snoop Lion and, like, a bunch of, like, gangsta bitches watching you fight. Like, that's a real thing. That is a real thing. We'll watch a YouTube of it after this show.
Now, see, Tekken is kind of basic, but I like Tekken games. They're all right.
Yeah, because you don't know how to play fighting games, and you can win Tekken just by mashing the controls.
Fuck off.
You know I'm right. Transformers.
More than meets the eye.
You gonna buy it?
I don't know. Does it have Michael Bay explosions in it?
Probably.
Does it have Shia LaBeouf in it?
No. Ugh. It looks kind of basic. It looks like a Wii game that they ported to Wii U after developing it on Wii. I'm not going to buy it. It doesn't look very good.
It's an Activision game, right?
Yeah.
Meh.
Warriors Orochi Hyper 3.
What?
It's a Musou game, but with, like, feudal ghosts that have superpowers or something.
Huh. I'm not familiar with the series.
But you're familiar with Musou games.
Vaguely.
You own several, right?
I think.
Do you know what a Musou game is?
Captain Spike, why don't you tell our listeners in Radioland?
So this is a genre of game. I don't know what they're called in the U.S. I think most people that know what this genre even is just refer to them as Musou games. These are games like Dynasty Warriors, Fist of the North Star.
I do have a Dynasty Warrior game. I wasn't super into it.
This sort of one man against many thousands. And so, sort of the more recent gimmick, while it used to be like, oh, you have a spinny lance and that can kill hella people at one time, and you have to kill several thousand people through the course of the game. Now it's a little more like, bitch, you have some mission objectives, you have goals, you have, like, superpowers to kill hundreds at a time. Have fun. And I'm actually kind of into how that genre, what that genre has grown into in the last year or two.
Yeah, I picked up that Dynasty Warriors game for 3DS. Wasn't really into it, but
the Vita one is pretty good. You should download the demo. It's surprisingly legit.
Now, when you say killing hella people, are you talking like 99 Nights?
Yeah, 99 Nights is a Musou game of sorts.
Because I played the demo of 99 Nights, and I actually had a lot of fun with that demo.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the direction the Musou genre has gone in, is that sort of more, a little more over the top, a little less, like, historical accuracy. Kao Pi versus Wu Fu Mishi.
See, it seems like Dynasty Warriors is still very much like that, though.
Even the Dynasty Warriors series has gone away from that in the last 2 years or so. You're talking about a Dynasty Warriors game that's still several years old at this point.
True.
And this last one, I can't read that on the screen. Can you read that?
It's,
I don't know. It's some exercise bullshit.
Your shape fitness evolved.
So
2013
no.
or something.
I'm going to give that a no.
Yeah, no.
All right. Well, that's this whole list. So, that's hell of day one launch titles. And we don't even know it's going to be on the eShop when we turn on our Wii.
That's true. And, tonight. You know, this is just what's available at launch. You have to remember that
game. There are games coming out in the coming weeks. There's, you know, the Avengers coming out. Next, you know, there's at some point the Wonderful 101. Although I'm secretly hoping that that's going to be on the eShop tonight. I doubt it, obviously. But who
knows?
We got
Pikmin 3 coming soon.
Pikmin motherfucking 3.
So, you know, I understand that some people might not want to.
And even in that same March window as Pikmin 3, we have, you know, a Monster Hunter. I'm going to buy the shit up out of Monster Hunter.
Right, right. So, you know, some people might still feel that, you know, there's nothing that it's offering them right now. But I have to disagree with when people say that there's not a strong launch, because I think that there's a lot of variety here. I think there's certainly more here than there was for 3DS, that in terms of appealing to different types of gamers, arguably.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe you heard something that we talked about and you're like, hey, I actually really want to play Zombie U.
Yeah.
Or something, you know. So, anyway, we need to move on. We need to
to talk about...
I said, hey, what's going on?
So this week, I have been playing more Disgaea 3, of course. I tried to play Assassin's Creed Liberation, but after hitting yet another glitch and losing 30 minutes of playtime, I think I'm officially done for now.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
I'll probably come back to this game in a little while when the wounds aren't so fresh. But for now, Disgaea 3 when I'm on the go, and at home I've actually been playing Halo 4.
What, bro? What?
Yeah.
Are you serious, bro? You've been playing Halo, bro?
It's a little weird.
Really, bro?
Stop, though. It's pretty weird. Like, I've been playing a great deal of Halo 4.
Okay,
I like the story. I like the weapon designs. I like the enemy designs. I'm pretty much all on board.
Yeah, it's crazy because I've heard nothing but great things about Halo 4. I actually ordered a copy. Newegg had a sale, so I'm still waiting for it to arrive. But, you know, I'm actually for the first time interested in a Halo game. It sounds like 343 Industries, you know, really, really delivered.
Yeah, I think that's what I was most surprised by. It's very clear that new people are making these games and that these new people are bringing new ideas.
Because, you know, a lot of people were worried about the fact that Bungie wasn't going to be making Halo 4. They're like, no, bro, should have ended with Halo 3, bro. I'm not going to play a Halo game that's not by Bungie, bro. And the ironic thing is that it seems like these innovations, I don't know, would you call them innovations?
They are innovations and refinements, both. I would go so far as to say that this is a better Halo game than Bungie possibly could have made.
And it really seems like it's opening it up to a new audience. I mean, I know you played all the Halo games, but you were never super into them, right?
No, it was just a thing to do with my bros when we're drinking and hanging
out. Yeah, bro.
Anyway.
Bro.
What about you? What you been playing?
Well, I actually also have an Assassin's Creed story. I started out playing Assassin's Creed 3 because, you know, like I've talked about on air, I really like the franchise. You know, Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood, probably some of my favorite games of the previous generation, since we are now in the new generation of gaming. But I'm actually really, really disappointed so far. You know, I just think, and you know, there's a lot of glitches, first of all, like in Liberation, but I just think a lot of the mission design is really sloppy. And, you know, I don't feel like I'm, like, sneaking around assassinating. It feels like, oh, here, have melee combat, and I ain't here for that, you know? I feel like I'm being shoehorned into stupid mechanics, like naval battles, that I don't want to have to deal with. And, I mean, it seems funny to criticize an Assassin's Creed story for being a little ham-fisted, because it's Assassin's Creed, but, I mean, even more so than usual, I'm just not connecting with Connor Kenway, you know? And I don't know if it's just because we spent so much time with Ezio, and those games really pushed it forward from the original Assassin's Creed. It just really seems like they dropped the ball, and, you know, I may come back to it, but I'm just really, really not interested, kind of like how you're not interested in Liberation. So what I ended up doing instead is I spent a little bit of time playing Super Mario 3D Land, finally. Really cute. I'm still on the early stages, which, you know, is basically just a warm-up for the real game. But really cute. I love the I love the touches that remind me of, you know, Mario 3. You know, having a good time, but what I've been spending the most time with is I picked up Pokemon White again, and, you know, I had stopped because at the time I was, like, hitting a brick wall with one gym leader, and I was just like, I don't really feel like grinding out some levels and going fighting trainers or grinding wild Pokemon, but, you know, I just picked it back up, did it, and now I'm pretty far in, so,
yeah,
you know.
In Africa, you did the damn thing.
You know, well, the other thing is, when I picked up Assassin's Creed 3 and Liberation, I did it at Target, where they were having a buy two, get one free deal. And so I ended up getting Pokemon White for 2 for free.
Oh, excellent. That's great.
The ironic thing is that White 2 is going to probably be the only one that I feel will be worth having spent money on.
Womp, womp.
So basically, I spent $100 on Pokemon White 2, but yeah, so I'm kind of gearing up on that, but, yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because I don't know how you feel about Pokemon games, but when a new generation of Pokemon comes out, or, well, a new entry, so to say, you know, I pick it up to totally get into it, and then I'm just kind of done until the next generation. So,
that's usually true for me as well.
But it's one of those things that you pick back up and you're like, hey, you know, this still continues to be fun. Gosh, how many years? 15 years down the line? Is that where we're at this point with Pokemon? Wow. So yeah, Pokemon White. Pokato Monsuta
Hoaito. So, I think that's kind of it for what's up. It is time, I think, for a new segment. As our longtime listeners know, we used to do a segment where we would bring a handful of kids in. And we would basically trash talk poor gaming journalism. With the goal of sort of shaming games journalism into doing their jobs better. After identifying what our goals were and sort of recalibrating how we want to get there, what we're going to do now is point out to you guys every episode one noteworthy article. There's still going to be some stinkers that are so bad that we need to throw some shade and shame people into doing their damn jobs right. But I also want to celebrate when games journalism is done right, and we can show you and talk about just really incredible investigation, analyzation, isolation of issues, and how we're going to do that is with a segment that we like to call Welcome to Our Read of the Week. We're going to take one article, we're going to talk about it a little bit, and then tell you if you need to read this article, or if you need to read this article, girl.
Could you get any more gayer?
That is a very ironic question to be coming up out shell mouth, girl.
Don't you talk about what's coming in my mouth.
This week, we're going to talk about Kotaku.
Hey, don't do that.
This can't possibly be a surprise. What is a surprise is that Kotaku published what I would argue is probably the best written, best reported, best investigated gaming piece of gaming journalism that I've ever seen. This article is called What Went Wrong with Silicon Knights' X-Men Destiny? Let it be stated that Slag has pointed out to me, of course, that I always say Silicon Knights' name wrong. I don't care.
Yeah, you know, silicone is what they put in fake Tetas.
No, I know. It's also used in caulk for, like, construction. Girl. Anyway, I always pronounce their name wrong. IDJF.
Anyways, no, I agree you. This article is really well written.
And I'm not going to go over it too much because, frankly, I think if you have any interest in games journalism, you should look this up. We're going to link it on the site, gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org.
And it's just really great. They sort of go into the issues in developing this game, sort of what was going on in Silicon Knights' studio at the time, both in terms of upper management, upper mismanagement, sort of their financial concerns, because obviously if you've been following along at home, Silicon Knights have been doing awful. They've been, like, it's been flop after flop since their relationship with Nintendo. And many people now say that the only reason the games they produced under Nintendo's reign were so good is because Nintendo apparently kept them on a very tight leash. Which actually makes absolute sense. You look at Too Human is a great example. That game was floating around for several console generations before it finally got released because there was no one keeping them reined in. They were just, make it bigger, make it badder. And I overall liked it. I thought it was really great, Too Human. But I did see the problems in its bloated game design. I just happened to be addicted to loot whore games, and that is a super well-done console loot whore game. So yeah, we recommend reading this article. This definitely gets a read rating from
read.
Us. And do you have anything to say about it, Slaggy?
I just wanted to shout out, this was actually written by a freelance journalist, so props to him. His name's Andrew McMillan. He's on Twitter as Nightshock, Nitesshok. So,
And does he tell me, who does he... Does he write? Has he written other pieces for Kotaku?
You know, he's done quite a bit for IGN. I think a bit for 1UP. He's actually done some stuff for Rolling Stone and stuff too. So pretty cool. I think that, you know, having freelance journalists have a presence on sites like Kotaku and stuff is nothing but healthy for. Industry. I think a lot of times the freelancers do a better job with their investigation and, you know, not just being sensationalist in the way that some of the staff writers tend to be. So, well done, Andrew McMillan.
Yeah, and well done to Kotaku for running this story.
Yeah. Indeed.
We'll probably refine this segment a little bit more. It's a little bare bones compared to what Lol-Taco used to be. But, you know, I just want to restate, we're not doing this to be bitter bitches, we're not trying to, you know, tear anyone down, we just, games journalism, gamers as a base, we all deserve better, both from games media and the mainstream media, and we are exploring ways in which we can communicate this constructively.
Indeed.
I believe you have a piece of listener feedback, yeah?
We do. We're going to wrap up, but before we do our shout-outs and our solicitations, we'd like to share some listener feedback from April from California. She was listening to our Underappreciated Gems episode, episode 12, and she wanted to share one of her favorite Underappreciated Gems, 13. She said she really loves The Killing, and that is even better with the storyline narrated by David Duchovny.
And I just can't help but read this tweet, or I'm sorry, this message, and not think of the Bree Sharp song, David Duchovny, Why Won't You Love Me?
Really? But seriously, though, you're a fan of 13 as well, right?
Yeah, no, it's great. In fact, as soon as I saw this message from April, all I could think was, like, dude, that is such the perfect game for what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Well executed, well put together. Completely ignored in the marketplace, but still so good that you can go back to it and get something out of it even now.
Yeah, and a little quirky. I'm not familiar with it, but it's a little quirky, right?
Yeah. It's based on, and correct, I could be wrong, I think it was a French comic book.
Oh, that's cool.
It's based on an international comic book territory. I just don't
know. So, thank you so much for sharing your underappreciated gem, April.
Thanks, April.
If you would like to get in touch with us, you can... get in touch with us on Twitter at GameBuoy Podcast.
At GameBuoy Podcast.
You can talk to us on Facebook at facebook.com/GameBuoy.
Facebook.com/GameBuoy.
Or you can email either of us at You can email Captain Spike at cpt.spike@gamebuoy.org.
cpt.spike@gamebuoy.org.
Or myself at slagkick@gamebuoy.org.
SLAGKICK at gamebuoy.org.
You can find us on iTunes. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. I have to admit that I don't really open iTunes a lot, so I don't know if people have reviewed us. But
I don't think they have. I use iTunes every day. I am all about iTunes. And we don't have a lot of ratings, and it makes me sad. Whatever, though, we still love you, even those of you
and
that
who else
never
do we love?
So I love Dorked. This is one of my favorite podcasts, and it's ending, and I'm
really?
Super sad. The dude Matt Kaplan, who is super hot, but whatever,
he is super hot.
He something is going on in his life. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Oh, poor guy.
But he referenced in his last episode that it was the last episode, and he also vaguely mentioned something going on. I just hope he comes back.
Yeah, which it's always very unfortunate when a good podcast, you know, just ends before its time.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. But anyway, you should go over there, go to his website, download it.
Yeah,
so that
check out those little audio parfaits. They're delightful. Really well put together.
His show, it's just 10-minute clips, way better than what we do, because frankly, we talk for hours. You know these girls like to talk.
Mm.
So go download it. Send his download numbers through the roof. He deserves it.
Show him that you want Dorked to come back someday when things are going good.
Next up, Koopa Club.
Speaking of girls who like to talk.
If you like what we do, but you want it gayer and more Nintendo-oriented, which, by the way, seems very strange after this episode.
Right.
Check these guys out. They're great. I totally dig what they do. And, of course...
Okay, because we're being super gay, I saw their pictures on their, like, website. They're pretty cute, too.
Oh, yay, cute.
Hey, cuties.
And last, but certainly never least for me, is Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom we've basically copied a voice from.
None of them are cute. No, I'm just kidding. I love all of you over there at OLR.
What about you? Who do you love?
Well, and feel free to jump in because I just totally, like, butted into your shout-outs today.
Yeah, because you're a rude bitch.
We'd like to shout out to Nerdgasm Network. They've been doing some live streaming, so that's been pretty cool.
Yeah, that's been great. I've actually listened to a couple of the live shows. Two. I don't know if they've done more than two, but...
Right. My life's been a little busy. You might have read on the website that I got scurvy, but, you know, I checked out Nerdgasm Network.
Girl, okay, we all know scurvy is really code for herpes.
I didn't get herpes, no. But anyway, Nerdgasm Network, you know... They're the wildest group of shock jock radio, video game radio dudes that you'll find out there. And if you're still into the World of Warcraft, you can check out the Best Little Horde House in Azeroth, where they talk about World of Warcraft, but never too seriously. Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO. And Video Game Outsiders, where we like to check out what's going on in the gaming world. You know, they've won a podcast award, an Xbox Live Community Award, and for good reason, because they are delivering some legit realness. We'd also like to thank, and we'd like to shout... So, you might have noticed... Fuck! So, you might have noticed... God, I can't talk because I'm so excited for Wii U! You might have noticed...
What was that?
I'm just excited for Wii U. You might have noticed that we have a new opening theme. If you have ears, you probably heard that... We have a new opening theme, and we'd like to shout out to Zelda Reorchestrated. They basically reconstruct our favorite Zelda music, and, you know, they're putting out a Twilight Princess, like, three-disc extravaganza.
Gosh.
It's pretty amazing with a live choir, so go check them out. Really, really cool stuff. If you're a fan of Zelda music, as we are, you will probably like what they do. So, with that... Clock's ticking, getting closer to Wii U time.
Yep, we now have about 8 hours to go. And
surprisingly, it's not like 1 hour left based on how much we talk.
I know, right? We have plans to go catch a movie, need to get ready for Wii. This is great. I am so excited. have a great day, everyone. Have a great week. If you're jumping on the Wii U,
yes,
play with us online or something.
We want to know, if you're jumping on the Wii U train... We want your thoughts for our next episode, so please...
If you're not, tweet at us, why not? So we can shade
yes,
you on,
we love
on
our,
there.
We love our listener feedback.
Otherwise, man, keep playing, keep thinking, have a great week, and see you, Space
We'll see you in Nintendo Land. Ahoy, mateys, and welcome to GameBoo, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and opinions that may not be on your radar, but most definitely should be.
You don't get to do that.